Today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Cabinet will meet today, and amongst the topics to be discussed will be the new National Maternity Hospital, also a new silage support scheme for farmers. And to preview all of this, I'm joined on the line by Pat Leahy, political editor with the Irish Times. We'll also speak in a moment to Dr. Anne Finnegan, political analyst at the Irish Farmers Journal. But Pat, firstly to you, and I want to talk to you about the National Maternity Hospital, because I see in the last few minutes Sinn Féin, the Social Democrats, the Independent Centre, Alice Mary Higgins, all saying to government, please don't approve this plan today, but it does seem that the government will go ahead.
Yeah, I think that's what's likely to happen. Now, a project of this nature, you know, it's not either one yes or no to it. There's a stage, it receives approval in stages, but I think ministers will give the latest stage the go ahead today. Opposition parties, as you mentioned, calling for approval to be delayed. They're focusing in on an appearance next week at the Oireachtas Health Committee by the Minister for Health, Stephen Donnelly. They say they want to interrogate him on the protections for clinical independence that are in the agreement with St. Vincent's Hospital, on whose grounds the new maternity hospital will be built. But as I say, I don't think that's going to happen. I think they would go ahead with this today. And we've already had repeated exchanges on this point. Some campaigners, you mentioned a number of opposition politicians there, also people like Peter Boylan, who's a former master of the NMH, saying that he's not happy with the protections for clinical independence and that procedures which are contrary to a Catholic ethos may be prevented in the new National Maternity Hospital government. And other campaigners in favour of getting ahead and building this thing, people like Rona Mahoney, who's of course also a former master of the maternity hospital, saying that they are happy with the protections in place, that any procedures which are permissible under law will take place at the new hospital. All of which is a rather long-winded way of answering your question. Yes, I think it is going to go ahead today, but the row will continue.
Okay. Yes, that's exactly the point. And beyond going to a completely different site, it's hard to see how that's going to be fixed.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen at this stage. Somewhere in the region of 50 million euros has already been spent on this site. There is a plan in place for it. And I know that, you know, while there are dissenting voices, an awful lot of doctors currently working in the National Maternity Hospital want to get this thing built as soon as possible. They wanted to get it built 5 years ago. But obviously, nothing happens quickly in these instances. Okay. So my expectation is that it will proceed.
Now, on third level education, there is a mission here to drive down the cost to students and families. But the long running problem has been, how do you pay for that and who should fund it? The minister, Simon Harris, is bringing a memo to Cabinet today on this.
Yeah, what I'm told this would be is a sort of a policy statement. It's not going to allocate money or anything like that today. That will, I suppose, that argument internally in government about the levels of additional funding and so forth will take place as part of the budgetary process. But I think this memo today is going to set out two policy objectives. One will be to increase the overall funding for the third level sector, and it will state that that funding will come from the exchequer. So about a million years ago, or at least as far back as 2016, there was a major report on all this by the trade unionist Peter Castles, and he identified additional funding needs at third level and said there were three possible sources for that funding. One was additional contributions from employers, one was additional fees from students, and the other was direct exchequer funding. Now, the government, I think, will decide today that it will provide additional funding to the sector. The figure of 300 million has been identified as an annual need. I doubt if they'll get all that in the one go, but I expect you'll see a reasonable dent in that made when we get to the next budget. In parallel with that, there will also be a policy decision to reduce the cost of third level to individual students. Now, whether that comes through revamping the grant system and increasing student grants, are reducing the current €3,000 a year fee. That hasn't been decided yet, and again, that's likely to be the subject of future discussion.
Okay, so we're likely to hear more about that when we see this policy statement a little bit later. Now, there'll also be discussions about Ireland's bid for a place on the UN Human Rights Council.
Yeah, this is, I think, something that is also on the agenda today for the cabinet meeting. It seems to be a reasonably long and complicated agenda. But the Department of Foreign Affairs, I think, is going to seek government approval to seek a place on the UN Human Rights Council. Now, that's the body that oversees human rights around the world for the UN. There's a council of, I think, 40 to 50 or so members on it, which is elected. The term that Ireland is seeking election to wouldn't begin, I'm told, until 2027. And if you look at the current membership of the Human Rights Council, it has people like China and Russia and Cuba on it. So perhaps it's a dubious distinction, to be honest, but it is going to be adopted today as government policy to seek membership.
You're also writing on the front page of your own paper about farmers who are set to get this €1,000 support to grow fodder. Now, this is an additional measure, and I suppose it's the government looking ahead to what problems might be coming down the track in the winter when your animals are in sheds and you're paying premium prices to feed them over the colder months.
Yeah, there's a crunch in animal fodder expected next year in the price of annual fodder for next winter for a couple of reasons, including the war in Ukraine that people would be familiar with. And one of the things that is pushing up prices is the lack of fertilizer from Ukraine. Ireland gets a lot of its fertilizer from Ukraine. That has become much more expensive for obvious reasons. So this grant that's going to be announced today and paid, I think, later this year will mean that farmers who grow silage to feed their animals next winter will be able to get up to €1,000 in support, €100 per hectare, up to a maximum of 10 hectares, I'm told, for people who are cutting silage this summer. So, as I say, it's in anticipation of difficulties in affording fodder and in the prices of fodder next year.
Okay, Pat, thank you very much for bringing us up to date on a very busy agenda at the Cabinet meeting later today. Dr. Anne Finnegan, as I said, is a policy analyst at the Irish Farmers Journal and is with us now. What do you make of this silage scheme, Anne?
Good morning, Claire. Well, look, I think, first of all, we have to say it's certainly welcome that the government are discussing this, because within the industry there is real concerns that there is an emerging crisis on livestock farms, and particularly dry stock farms in Ireland, where escalating farm costs are now well beyond what the market is compensating. So look, I mean, in terms of what's been, or what we understand has been proposed, I think first of all you'd have to say that the timing on this is very tight, and that is disappointing that this has been discussed today. You know, for farmers on the ground, silage ground would have been closed up, you know, you would expect at least 2 weeks ago, with fertiliser being applied at that stage for first cut silage. So it's coming to farmers very late. And the question is how quickly, you know, pending approval of cabinet this morning, how quickly could this scheme be stood up and farmers actually avail of it? Mm-hmm. But farmers have made their decisions already in relation to silage ground at this stage. And then I suppose the level of aid, you know, a quick thought from some of my technical colleagues this morning would suggest that, you know, we're talking about a maximum ceiling of 25 acres of silage. In the cost environment that we're in this year, that would cost about €15,000 this year, and the maximum grant aid is €1,000. So it's a 6% grant aid. So will that be enough to incentivise and motivate farmers to make more silage? I'm not sure that it will. And particularly in the dry stock sector, where we understand from Chagas' fodder survey, that's where the real crunch is. So almost 60% of dry stock farmers have said that they plan to reduce the amount of nitrogen on silage ground this year. And I think that's a factor of, first of all, fertiliser costs, but overall cost of energy, the cost of silage wrap, contractor costs are all feeding into this.
This is, I mean, you've got this. This is a 55 million euro package. You had a previous scheme to encourage farmers to grow tillage. That was 12 million. Two packages worth 20 million for pig farmers, 3 million for horticulture. I mean, you just wonder how much further this can go. I mean, assistance to farmers beyond what's there already, Anne. Do you expect that there'll be more?
Well, the challenge for farmers is it does come down to farm to individual farm level, and I mean when you look at that magnitude of grant aid, and for a small dry stock farmer, I mean ultimately that farmer is going to take a risk in terms of buying fertilizer, employing contractors, and potentially not getting return for that in the market come next autumn and next year. So that's the challenge for individual farmers. And we're talking about small businesses, and in respect of dry stock farming, we're talking about the smallest businesses in the farming sector with the lowest income. Okay. And cash flow is the main challenge here. So ultimately, you know, a lot of these farmers are operating with no bank cash flow, they're relying on merchant credit, and potentially many of them wouldn't even be able to avail of bank funding given their repayment capacity. So having the confidence to go out and purchase fertiliser, first of all, knowing what they do off the market and the costs that they're experiencing at the moment, and secondly, having the ability to purchase it in terms of funds in their own current account or availability of merchant credit, I think is a real challenge.
And we're going to leave it there, but thank you for joining us this morning. Dr. Anne Finnegan there, policy analyst at the Irish Farmers Journal. Next up, the Northern Assembly elections take place this week, so will history be made in Northern Ireland, and can Stormont return if Sinn Féin take the most seats?
Email todaycb@rte.ie.